Elizabeth Elliot says that God knows the end from the beginning. He loves us, He is wise, He's powerful, and He calls us to put our faith in Him, to set our feet on that rock which will never move. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Secure in the Everlasting Arms and God's Guidance, A Slow and Certain Light. As you put your faith in the solid rock, study the unchanging word with us today. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, continuing the riveting story of the small woman of China. Her name was Gladys Aylward, a woman whom I met way back in 1960 and whom I have never forgotten. I don't ever expect to forget her. She went to China, having no background except that of a London parlor maid. She didn't know how to do anything but dust, and she had no mission board, no promises, no money, no nothing. And she found herself trudging down the railroad track, and it turned out that there was a war on, and the soldiers told her that she must walk back. Well, all sorts of things happen before she gets to Vladivostok. When she gets there, she goes into the hotel foyer, and was conscious that someone was walking close behind her. It was a girl, dark, plainly dressed, but attractive. The girl drew level with her. Without turning her head, she whispered, in good, if strongly accented English, "I must speak to you now. It is important. Follow me." Gladys let the girl precede her and followed her into the corridor. The girl took her arm and steered her into a dark corner. "I waited until I was sure the OGPU man had left you," she said. "But I don't understand. Who are you?" "It doesn't matter. What matters is that you are in danger." "But I'm a British subject. I've got a passport." "Where is it?" "Here, in my bag." "Take it out. Open it." Gladys fumbled in her bag and suddenly remembered the man at the desk. He had put it in his pocket and not returned it. The girl's eyes were fixed on her, reading her thoughts. "They still have it? Then you must get it back. Here they need skilled factory workers desperately. If they decide to, they can send you off somewhere in the middle of Russia, and you'll never be heard of again. Examine your passport carefully when they return it." "Of course. But what am I to do?"
"I can help you."
"Help me? How can you help me?"
"Listen. Tonight, after midnight, be dressed and have your baggage ready. A knock will come on your door. Open it and follow the man outside. Do not speak to him. Simply follow him. You understand? But first, ask them for your passport back." Gladys nodded weakly, then stood in the dim corridor for a few moments after the girl had gone, trying to form a plan of action. She had to get the passport back. She walked back to the desk in the foyer. The OGPU man was sitting on a tilted chair smoking a cigarette. He looked contemptuously up at her.
"My passport," said Gladys. "I would like my passport back."
He rocked his chair back to floor level, took the cigarette out of his mouth, and blew out smoke. "It's still being examined. I will bring it to you this evening." "Thank you," said Gladys, and walked quickly away. That night she sat in the cold bedroom after eating her supper. A knock came on the door. She walked across and opened it. It was the OGPU man, grinning, waving the passport tantalizingly in one hand. He put his foot in the door. Instinctively warned, with a quick movement, she reached up, snatched the passport from his hand, and flicked it over her head into the bedroom. The bitter, sardonic grin on his face frightened her. He forced the door wide open and stepped inside.
"Don't you dare come in here," she said. "Get out! Get out at once!"
"I am coming in, and you can't stop me." His slitted eyes flicked across to the bed and back to her. She was so petrified with astonishment that she allowed him to take 3 steps toward her. Then she leaped backward, exclaiming unsteadily, "God will protect me! God will protect me!" The man stopped. He seemed puzzled. For a moment, he stared at her, rooted so dramatically in front of him. Then he started to grin. The grin turned into a laugh, finally into a roar of laughter. Astonished but implacable, Gladys glared at him. Abruptly, his mood changed. He swore at her savagely, cursed her in Russian and English. He lifted his hand threateningly, thought better of it, and stepped backward out of the door, slamming it behind him. Gladys dived at the bolt and thrust it home. The knock was so gentle at midnight that she barely heard it. She hesitated before unlocking the door, then decided she must go through with it. A strange man in a drab Macintosh, that's a raincoat, and wilted hat stood outside. It was so dark she could hardly see his face. He motioned to her to come out and held the door open while she bundled through with her suitcases. Then he went on ahead, and she followed him along the corridor, down the stairs, and past the reception desk. The clerk was nodding in his chair by the stove. There was no sign of the OGPU man. The revolving door grated a little as it spun around, and she had difficulty with her cases. Then they were out in the cold night air. She walked quickly after the stranger, stumbling into potholes in the unlit streets. As they hurried through the dark side streets, she had a feeling that they were approaching the sea. Against the night sky, she could see the thin shapes of dockside cranes. Soon they were stumbling over railroad tracks embedded in cobblestones. From the shadow of a pile of packing cases stepped another figure. It was the girl. And with a sigh of thankfulness, Gladys hurried to her. The man stepped back into the shadows. "I'm glad you have come," the girl said. "What do I do now?" Gladys asked anxiously. "You see that ship?" The girl pointed to the black bulk of a freighter looming beyond the dark sheds and cranes. "Yes?" "It is a Japanese ship. It sails for Japan at dawn. You must be on it." "But Japan? I've got no money." Gladys's voice rose into a wail. "You'll find the captain of the ship in that small wooden hut over there. You must go and see him, plead with him, tell him you are in great trouble. You must leave on that ship." "All right, I'll try." The girl stood there in the darkness, and Gladys did not know how to thank her. "What about you? I haven't even thanked you for what you have done. Why have you helped me like this?" "You needed help." The girl's voice was low and sad. "But you..." "I live here. I shall be all right." "But how can I thank you? What can I give you? I have no money." "It does not matter." Gladys sensed the hesitation in the girl's voice. "There is something." "You have, perhaps, clothes?" Every garment Gladys possessed, she was wearing against the bitter cold. She had nothing except what she wore. But she had to show her gratitude somehow. She whipped off her gloves. "Here, take these, and these stockings." She fumbled in her coat pocket and produced a pair she had thrust there in her hurry. "They're old and darned, but please have them." The girl took them. "Thank you," she said quietly. "Good luck." Their hands touched for a moment in the darkness, and then she turned on her heel and walked away. Gladys pushed open the door of the little hut. A naked electric bulb hung from the roof, and a bare wooden table was piled with papers. On the other side of it sat a young Japanese in merchant marine uniform. He looked up gravely as she came in. "Please," she said, "are you the captain of that boat? I'm English. I must get on it." He stared at her impassively. Then he said in excellent English, "How are you? Please speak slowly. What is it you wish?" "I want to go to Japan on your ship." "Indeed. Have you money to pay your fare?" "No, nothing." His black eyes were unblinking and quite incurious. "No valuables of any sort?" "No, nothing at all. But I must leave here. I must." The captain nodded his head. His face had shown not the slightest sign of emotion. "You say you're a British subject?" You have a passport? Gladys fished her passport out of her bag, handed it to him. He leafed through it carefully. As she watched him, she had a feeling he had done this many times. A British subject in trouble. We really cannot have that, can we? Yes, I will take you on my ship. There are some papers you must sign, that is all. If you will come with me, I will find you a cabin. 6 hours later, as dawn was coloring the bare red hillsides along the coastline, the Japanese steamship slowly slid out toward the open ocean with Vladivostok, a smudge of smoke behind them. At the rail, Gladys looked back at the city she was leaving. She felt as if she had spent a lifetime crossing Russia and Siberia, and only through great good fortune had managed to escape. She wondered who the girl was who had helped her, the man who had knocked at her door. She knew that she would never meet them, either of them, again, that they would always remain eternal enigmas in her past. But she wished them luck, for she felt that already she herself had received a fair allowance of that glittering, fateful currency. Amazing story of the providence of God in the life of a very simple, very uneducated, but very determined, tiny little woman named Gladys Aylward. I'm going to continue the story tomorrow.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliot. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.